In a new report titled The Astounding State Surplus, the Wisconsin Policy Forum research director says the projections of a $6.5 billion surplus are useful, but far from certain. We check in now with Jason Stein for more on the implications for state spending and taxing. And Jason, nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
So you've covered and researched Wisconsin state budgets for a while. As you saw these projections grow, did it surprise you?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, when we think about 2 years ago when we were at this point, things did not really look that good for the state. But then we had two very large federal pieces of legislation, the Consolidated Appropriations Act and then the American Rescue Plan Act, that really juiced the economy. They shot state tax collections upward. And despite inflation, the state really hasn't spent a ton of that money. And so that we find ourselves here with this really remarkable surplus.
Here we are, the astounding surplus. So we detailed, and you just expressed some of the reasons that the state coffers are so fat, like those COVID funds and an increase in sales tax revenue. But what kind of choices then do legislative budget writers make with this money?
Well, I mean, they really have an unprecedented level of choice. I mean, clearly you've seen the governor and lawmakers talk about some sort of tax cuts. Both the personal property tax is something that's been mentioned, as well as income tax cuts. So, I mean, I would stay tuned for both of those things. And then we have had a world where it's 8% inflation, and yet local governments and schools have seen fairly tight limits on their state and local funding. Now, they've gotten federal pandemic funding, but it's also running out. And so I think, you know, one key question is, does the state try and look at some of those issues at the local level and try and step in and assist the local officials?
Well, for sure, we know that municipalities have been crying out for more shared revenue. Would now be the time, perhaps, both with one-time and more sustainable funding going forward?
I mean, right. So, there's always options that state officials have. One thing that local officials have sought is the ability to levy their own sales tax, so cities and villages to be able to do that. The legislature, at least Republicans in the legislature, has been pretty reluctant to take that on. And so to them, increasing state aid to municipalities may seem like a compromised position. I mean, when we talk about the multi-billion dollar surplus we have, you know, in year one of the budget, increasing shared revenue by even 10% would be something like $80 million and $160 million in year two. So these are, I mean, in a normal world, that's a lot of money.
Right.
But it, you know, in the present circumstance, it's not as much as it typically would be.
They've also asked for, again, this kind of sustainable funding mechanism, and that would be like the local sales tax.
Right. And, you know, I mean, the state would have the option of even lawmakers who are concerned about raising taxes could combine a local sales tax with, you know, say, income tax cuts at the state level and leave taxpayers, at least in the state as a whole, better off or paying lower taxes. But of course, you know, a sales tax is going to have more impact on people at the lower end of the income scale. It's more regressive. So, you know, there'll be a lot of discussion about that, I think.
Stepping back a little bit, what do you regard as the biggest need areas?
Oh, it's a great question. Again, schools have been at their state and local revenue limits have been frozen for 2 years. And so that's something that and their federal pandemic aid is running out. So that's a major issue. You see in terms of public safety, you see actually cities and villages going to referendum asking voters to approve raising their own property taxes to pay for public safety. And you see in some communities that happened in November, which is pretty new. You see school referenda for many years, but not the level of other local government referenda. So, I mean, those are two things that step out, but we also have higher education. We have turnover within state and local governments, and then we have infrastructure needs as well. So,
we need a lot of money to do a lot of things, as always, in a state budget. But as we have pointed out, it is not likely to be smooth sailing between the governor and the Republican budget riders, for example, on things like Medicaid expansion or, as we've discussed, school funding.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one thing to understand is, you know, Medicaid, which is the second biggest expense for the state, health care, you know, just to keep current services the same would be about $750 million over the next 2 years. At the same time, you know, there is this opportunity to expand the program and pull in additional federal money through the Federal Affordable Care Act and through the American Rescue Plan Act, like $1.5 billion over 2 years. So, you know, that's something that the Republicans have turned down in the past. But I think there's also an unprecedented opportunity for horse trading in this budget. So, you know, even though you wouldn't expect that to be on the table, perhaps it might.
I doubt it. But Jason Stein, thanks very much.
Thank you.